Today on Being Disciples, who God says he is. God is referred to in many ways in Scripture. Each name has a meaning and is what God wants to be to his children.
Welcome to the Being Disciples podcast with Pastor John. All notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us. This is a weekly podcast published every Monday that is meant to help believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ to mature in their faith. These principles should be useful to anyone who listens, but especially for the believers who are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You're invited on this journey to explore what it means to be a disciple. Let's begin by joining Pastor John with an opening prayer. Pastor John?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for so great a love that you have for us, that you sent your only begotten Son to redeem us and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, that for the joy set before you, you were willing to leave the majesty of heaven to come into this world, your creation, to redeem us and to restore us into a loving relationship with the Father. Thank you for laying down your life for us, both in the living of it and in the dying. In life, you showed us how we ought to live in intimacy with the Father, following the leading of Holy Spirit and loving one another. In death, you gave your body for us, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions. You were beaten, battered, and bloodied, even pierced to the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Now we ask you to give us the words to say and to open our ears and hearts to hear what you would say to us. Please bless all who join us today and all who hear this message on a recording. Amen. Welcome to episode 30 of Being Disciples. Today we're looking at who God says he is. We've previously looked at the idea of who God says we are. Today we're looking at who he says he is. And I encourage you to go back and listen to episode 16, Who God Says I Am. The two of these together, combined with believing that God will do what he says he will do, in my opinion, makes up the essence of faith. So here we're going to see that the names of God illustrate something of his character, and they also indicate what he wants to be to his children. It's good to review this list often for a couple of reasons. First, it glorifies God as we meditate on him with a spirit of thanksgiving, a form of worshiping him for who he is. Second, it builds our faith as we remember the benefits available to us when we call on his name. Names have meanings. They mean something, especially in biblical times. They were very purposefully given. So we ought to join King David in daily worshiping God for who he is and praising him for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he has yet to do. In Psalm 34, David wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." That's Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. So one example might be Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which tells us of four names for the Messiah. You may recognize this verse from Christmas cards and whatever. It states, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That's Isaiah 9, 6. Now, I'm making no claims that this is an exhaustive list. I have about 35 listed here. And furthermore, the names and meanings of them here are the best I have found in my study of many sources. So as you study, you may find something a little different, maybe better, maybe not. And depending on your study, there are more names to be found. Also, there may be more verses in the study notes than referred to in this podcast. And there are certainly more verses in Scripture than referenced in this study. So I'm going to take a look at them in alphabetical order for the most part of the list I've put together, beginning with Abba, Father. So the meaning of Abba is Father. Strong's Hebrew number 1, which is Ab, which is Father, or Strong's Greek number 5, which is Abba. Abba, Father. It's also used as a tender endearment of a beloved child. For example, in an affectionate, dependent relationship with their father, being daddy or papa. Isaiah 63:16 states, "For you are our father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our father. Our redeemer from of old is your name." Isaiah 63:16. So as you can see here, the pattern is going to be, I'll give the name that we're referring to, what it means,
the Strong's Concordance number and definition, and then we'll take a look at the verse that it comes from. So in this case, we see that God is Father, as in creator of life and committed to it. He is also referred to here as our Redeemer. The cost of our redemption was Christ Jesus, the Son, on the cross. He is our Deliverer as he paid our debt, freeing us from the consequence of our sin, the second death. We see this also in Romans 8:15, where Paul writes, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So God is Father, the one who adopts us as children and cares for us and desires a loving relationship with us. The next word is Adonai, the Lord, my Lord. Strong's Hebrew 136, Adonai, Lord. We see it in Habakkuk 3:19. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. So here I want to take a moment on the word Lord. Basically, it means a superior, as in master, or one who has power and authority over others. You'll see variations of this. For example, Lord in all lowercase letters with the lowercase L, it's referring to man, Lord or master, one who has authority over another. So that's man. As in 1 Peter 3:6, where it says, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening." Next up, we see Lord with the uppercase L and the lowercase ORD. So when the L is uppercase, the name is attributed to God, as in our Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in Acts 18, verse 25. "He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John." The third case here is Lord, where all the letters are uppercase. The word in this case is the name of God, or Yahweh. Here we see in Isaiah 40, it says, "A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So that's all uppercase. So when you're reading your Bible, you can pay attention to that. Notice that there are these variations. So if you have ever been curious as to why, there's the answer. Next one we're looking at is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega being the last. The beginning and the end, the first and the last, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Strong's Greek number one, Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Strong's Greek 5598, Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Just a little side note, Beta is the second letter of the Greek alphabet. So if you have Alpha plus Beta equals alphabet, the listing of our letters, that's where we get our word alphabet from. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Then we have Atik Yom, the Ancient of Days. Strong's number 6268, Atik means aged, a part of the name of God. And Strong's number 3118 has Yom, or day. In Isaiah 46:10, God states, "declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done," as a reference to being the ancient one. But we also see in Daniel 7:9, it reads, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire." We come to the word Baal Perazim, the god of the breaking through. Strong's Hebrew 1188, Baal Perazim, possessor of breaches, which is a place in Palestine. Baal Perazim is the name of a place named for the sake of the Lord breaking through David's enemies, the Philistines, in the valley of Rephaim, southwest of Jerusalem. And Rephaim is also ancient giants. So if you remember David and Goliath, Goliath being a Philistine, he was a giant. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim." Brings us to the word Christos, which you might recognize. It means the anointed one. Strong's Greek 5547, Christos, the anointed one, Messiah, Christ. So we have Jesus Christ, or Jesus the anointed one, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And if we are His, we must acknowledge as much. If we cannot acknowledge this, we are not His disciples. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." Brings us to the word El, the strong one. Strong's Hebrew number 410, El, God, mighty one, or strong. In Exodus 15:2, we read, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Then we come to Exodus 15:11, God of gods. It reads, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" Our next word is El Chul, the God who gave you birth, or the God who gave you life. Now, all these names that begin with El, I have in the notes here that Strong's Hebrew 410, El, which means God, mighty one, strong. So I'm not going to repeat that every time here. So El Chul, Strong's Hebrew 23:42, Chul is to whirl, dance, or writhe. Writhe means to twist or to writhe in pain, especially childbirth. In Deuteronomy 32:18, we read, "You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth." So God is the giver of life, the one who caused us to be born. Our next name is Eldea, God of knowledge. Strong's Hebrew 18:44 is Dea, knowledge. And we read in 1 Samuel 2, verse 3, "Talk no more so very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Our next word is El Elyon, the God Most High, or the Most High God. Strong's Hebrew number 59:45, Elyon, Most High, upper. We read in Genesis 14, verses 17 to 20, "After his return from the deed of Kedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh," that is, the king's valley. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abram gave him a tenth of everything." Next we see El Emeth, Strong's Hebrew number 571, Emeth, firmness, faithfulness, truth. So we're looking here at God of truth, or faithful God. We read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 42, verse 5, "Then they said to Jeremiah, 'May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us.'" In Psalms 31:5, it says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." Or, in another translation, "Into your hand I entrust my spirit. You have redeemed me, Lord, God of truth." So we see it as a true God and faithful God. The idea here is that God is true, faithful, and is the God of truth, since he does not and cannot lie. We read in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." And in Hebrews 6:18, we read, "So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." I was just led to add those verses in to show that God is faithful and true, for he does not and cannot lie. El Moshe, the God who saves. Strong's Hebrew 41:90, Moshe, saving acts. In Psalm 68:20, we read, "Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death." He saves us from the second death by his work on the cross. Then we come to an interesting word that I've struggled with a little bit here. The name is El Nekuma, but I have yet to find that actual name, that actual word. It means God of all comfort. I did find a word that's close, Strong's Hebrew 51:65, Nekama. So it's close to Nekuma.
I don't know why it's changing those lists. I haven't figured it out yet. But that word means comfort. So it applies to God of all comfort. In Psalms 119:50, we see, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." And in Job 6:10, "This would be my comfort. I would even exult in pain unsparing, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One." Or perhaps it's Strong's Hebrew 51:62, "Nakam," defined to be sorry, to console oneself. Though this definition doesn't appear likely, there could be something in the Hebrew language that affects the word, as the word is used frequently throughout Isaiah as a source of comfort from God. For example, in Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." And the Bible verse I most see referenced is 2 Corinthians 1:3. However, the word there is Greek, and it's paraklesis. It's Strong's Greek number 3874. Its definition is a calling to one's aid, encouragement, comfort. And in 2 Corinthians 1:3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." So it's not the meaning of the Greek word that's in question, but the lack of the word nekuma that I've yet to find. Even though it is repeatedly used in the lists of names of God that I've found on the internet, I've yet to come across someone teaching from where the word originates in the Bible or the Hebrew language. Nekama is the closest I find both in spelling and in definition. While many scripture passages do speak to the comfort that God provides, there seems to be a mixture within the explanation of this term. So until such time as I find something more definitive, or if someone provides an explanation to me, I think I'll just go with El Nakama, God, my comfort. And really the point is that God is our source of comfort. It really doesn't have anything to do with the word itself, so I'm not going to make a big issue about that. So as you study, as you do your own study, these are the kinds of things you have to try to figure out. Dig as deep as you can, find what's going on. I've dug quite a bit. I have yet to come across something, but for the sake of this study, this podcast, this episode, I needed to get it up. So I'm just sharing it with you. There are struggles. I could have left it off the list. You would have never known, but I like to use this as a teaching moment if possible. So the next word we have is El Olam, everlasting God. Strong's Hebrew number 5769, Olam, means long duration, antiquity, or long duration, futurity. So the past and the future, everlasting. In Genesis 21:33, we read, "Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." Next up is the name Elkanah. It means jealous God. Strong's Hebrew 70:67, Kana, means jealous. In Exodus 34:14, we read, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." So it's interesting, we're told here in this verse that his name is jealous, Kana, and also that he is a jealous God, jealous for his children, whom he calls upon to remain faithful to him and his commands. Then we have Elroi, spelled R-O-I, Elroi, the God who sees me. Strong's Hebrew 72:10, Roi, looking, seeing, sight. We find in Genesis 16, verses 11 to 14, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly, here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Next up is the name El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, or God Almighty. Strong's Hebrew 7706b, Shaddai, perhaps the Almighty, a title for God. We read in Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly.'" Then we have the name Elohim, Creator, the All-Powerful One, Almighty Creator. It's Strong's 430, Elohim, God. In Genesis 1:1, right at the beginning, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So if you have any doubts, there you have it. God created everything, everything seen and unseen.
Next up is Emmanuel, God with us. Strong's Hebrew number 6005, Emmanuel, with us is God. We read in Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I'm going to pause here just so we can hear the reminders from Garrett of where you can find these notes. And I encourage you to go and look at these notes and read through them and honor God with acknowledging who he is and learning all these benefits that he has for us, what he wants to be to us. So we'll be right back and go through the remainder of the list. Let's take just a moment to remind you that all notes and links can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, it's virtualstudywith.us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. Thank you, Garrett, for those reminders. I forgot to mention in the very beginning that we are not going to have a guest today. I'm just going through this list so you can use it for your own study, so you can listen to it for repetition of who God is in your life, and hopefully it'll be a benefit to you as it has been to me. So now we're going to start looking at Jehovah and the names associated with Jehovah. Jehovah means Lord, all capitals, that is the Godhead, or the I Am, the self-existent one. Strong's Hebrew 3068 is YHVH. Some would say Yahweh. It is Jehovah without the vowels, or Yahweh. So the definition here says the proper name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. And we look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I said there were 35 names, or maybe 36. I just added this one in, the word Yah, or Jah. It's Yah, I believe, J-A-H. It is the same as Yahweh. So what I want to do now is, from this word Jehovah, drop down and take a look at Yahweh next, which means I am. The reason for this is Yahweh and Jehovah are basically the same. So Yahweh, I am. I am who I am, the one who is the self-existent one. And for Yahweh, it comes up with the same Strong's Hebrew 3068, YHVH, the proper name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. And again, Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So you can see that Yahweh and Jehovah both have the same Strong's Hebrew number, both meaning I am. So we see these names are what God wants to be to his children. I am in the name of the attribute as we go down this list. The following names of God are Jehovah and then the name. So in the translation begins the Lord followed by the name. And I'm substituting Yahweh for the Lord because this is the Lord with all caps. And just for the sake of trying to help you remember that and the fact that you're not reading it so you don't see that it's all caps, I'm going to use the word Yahweh instead of the Lord as I read the definitions. Because when we say Lord, we tend to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as opposed to Almighty God, the I Am, the fullness of the Godhead. So we have to remember the comparison of Lord all lowercase, Lord with a capital L, lowercase O-R-D, and Lord with the all caps. So we start with Jehovah Yireh. Yahweh will provide, or the I am will provide. And again, I'm not going to use the Yahweh, because that in every one of these names for Jehovah or Yahweh will be Strong's Hebrew 3068, YHVH, the proper name of the God of Israel, Yahweh. But if we look at Strong's Hebrew 7200, that is Ra, to see. And Yireh has 45 occurrences. Strong's number 7200 has 1,306 occurrences in various forms. Translated three times as provide and two times as provided in the NASB. So we have the word Yireh basically coming out of that Hebrew word. This one, again, gets a little confusing, but it's the best I can find on it so far. Genesis 22, 13, 14 says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Next up we have Jehovah Magen, Yahweh my shield, or the I am is my shield. Strong's Hebrew 40:43, Magen or Meginah means a shield. In Psalms 33:20 we see, Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And we have Yehovah Mekedeshkem, Strong's Hebrew 6942, Kadash, to be set apart or consecrated. And we have the word Mekedeshkem, who sanctifies. So in Exodus 31, 12 to 13, we see, "And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." Then we have Yehovah Nisi, "Yahweh is my banner," or "I am is my banner." Strong's Hebrew number 5251, a standard, ensign, signal, sign. So it's basically a banner. In Exodus 17:15, we read, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner." Interesting thing about the banner, if you think of any war movies you've watched, especially like Patriots around the Revolutionary War, you'll see someone bearing the flag and carrying it forward. As long as the soldiers saw their flag was still raised, as long as they saw the flag was still moving forward, they moved forward with it. They saw the flag was still raised, they continued to fight. If the enemy's flag got raised, they would know that they had lost the battle or were in a losing position. Here we see that the Lord is our banner. We follow him into the battle. We continue to follow him. He is the standard that is raised high in front of us. Next up, we have Yehovah Auri, "Yahweh my light," or "I am is my light." Strong's Hebrew number 216, or, which means a light. Psalms 27 verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" A comforting verse there. Next we have Yehovah Rapha, "Yahweh who heals," or "I am who heals." Strong's Hebrew number 7495, Rapha, to heal. In Exodus 15:26, we read, saying, "If you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Next up, we have Yehovah Rohi, or Yehovah Ra'ah. "Yahweh is my shepherd. The I am is my shepherd." Strong's Hebrew 74:62, Ra'ah, to pasture, tend, graze. Psalms 23, verse 1 is one you may be familiar with. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Then we have Yehovah Sabaoth, "Yahweh of armies," or "Yahweh of hosts," the "I am of armies" and "I am of hosts." Strong's 6635, Saba, army, war, warfare. In Psalms 24:10, we read, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Next up, we have Yehovah Shalom, "Yahweh is peace," or "the I am is peace." Strong's Hebrew 7965, Shalom, means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. So it has a much greater meaning than just the word peace. In Numbers 6, verse 26, we read, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." That was a blessing that Moses was told to give to Aaron and his sons. We're going to take a closer look at that at the very end. The next name is Yehovah Shammah. "Yahweh is there," or "I am is there." Strong's Hebrew number 8033, we have the word Sham, which means there or thither. Strong's 8048 is Shammah, a proper name. It's a name that was of an Edomite person and also several Israelites. In Ezekiel 48, verse 35, we read, "The circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on shall be, The Lord is there." So that speaks to the presence of the Lord, the presence of Almighty God. Next, we have the name Yehovah Tsidkenu, "Yahweh our righteousness." "I am" is our righteousness. Strong's Hebrew number 6664, Tzedek, rightness or righteousness. We also see a word Tsidkenu, which means our righteousness,
in Jeremiah 23:6, is our righteousness in Jeremiah 33:16. So looking at Jeremiah 23, verse 6, we read, "In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." Next we have Jehovah Suri, Yahweh my rock, I am is my rock. Strong's Hebrew 66:97, Sur, rock or cliff. And in Psalms 28, verse 1, we read, "To you, O Lord, I call my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." Next name is Jehovah Uzi, Yahweh my strength, or I am is my strength. In Strong's Hebrew 57:97, Oz means strength or might. Uzi is my strength, is, of, or shall be. So is my strength, of my strength, or shall be my strength. In Psalms 28, verse 7, we read, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him." We've already looked at the word Yahweh. There's another one, Yahweh Bare, the Lord Creator, or the I Am, your Creator. Strong's Hebrew number 12:5-4, Bara, to shape or create. And again, we go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that concludes the list I have assembled at this time. I'm sure there are more, and I can add to my list as time goes on. Do you have a list of your own to refer to? If not, feel free to print this list and add to it as you discover more of the names of God, or as you research a certain name more deeply. Read through it regularly, getting it into your spirit and glorifying God and worshiping him for who he is. Also looking at this list, you'll see that some of the words are spelled different than they sound, like Suri. I don't know how you'd spell it, but I'd say, well, maybe it's like S-U-R-I-E or something like that. It is actually T-S-U-R-I. So there's some learning to do in this. I mentioned that we were going to go back and take a look at Jehovah Shalom and the peace and that blessing that Moses was given from the Lord. So I encourage you to receive this blessing that the Lord spoke to Moses, telling him how to bless Aaron and his sons. You may have heard it previously. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26 reads, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So let's break down this blessing. The Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am, the one true God, bless you. To kneel or bless. Bless is to hallow or consecrate. Hallow means to make holy or set apart for holy use. Consecrate means to make or declare sacred. Then the phrase keep you, in the Hebrew, to keep, watch, or preserve. Make his face means face or faces. Shine, to be or become light. Upon you, to, into, or towards. And be gracious to you, to show favor or be gracious. To lift up, to lift, carry, or take. His countenance, face or faces. Upon you, to, into, or towards. And give, to put, place, or set. And peace, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. Remember, I said that shalom was more than just peace. So I looked up the Hebrew Strong's Hebrew word, and the numbers are all on the study, so you can check them out yourself. So considering those definitions, I expanded it myself. So my expanded paraphrase of number 6:24-26 would read like this, and I think it just gives more depth and meaning for me to understand it, and it makes for a nice blessing. It says, "The Lord, the I Am, the one true God, bless you, setting you apart as holy and consecrating you for holy purposes, declaring you sacred. Keep you through his guarding you, watching over you, and preserving you. The Lord, the I Am, the one true God, make the light of his being from his face turn toward you to come upon you and into you, he being gracious to you, showing you favor. The Lord, the I Am, the one true God, lifting up his face toward you, seeing you, recognizing you, placing upon you his peace and welfare, in completeness and soundness. So with that, I bless you, and I thank you for joining me. I invite you to join me again next time on Being Disciples. Next time on Being Disciples, Tearing Down Strongholds, episode 31. What is a stronghold? What can I do about it? What has the power to destroy strongholds? We're going to explore this next time on Being Disciples.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Being Disciples. The show is hosted on Podbean. You can find it at beingdisciples.podbean.com. Again, it's beingdisciples.podbean.com. There you can find all episodes of this podcast. There's also a patron button you can use to support this broadcast if you feel so moved, and we thank you. You can also find us on your favorite podcast platform. The notes and links for this show can be found at virtualstudywith.us. Again, that's virtualstudywith.us, virtual study with us. Feel free to use this broadcast or the notes as you disciple someone else, as you lead a small group, or as you dive deeper into your own study. From the site, you can contact us if you would like to join a study group. If you have questions or comments for Pastor John, you can contact him by email at john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us. That's john.anoka@virtualstudywith.us, or through the contact form on the main page of the website. Please subscribe to this podcast and join us again next week as we learn more about being disciples.